You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. The summation of feelings that we have about this movie come to... Oh, what did you say, Richard?
What in the hell was that?
Yeah, that was pretty much exactly what was going through my mind over and over and over again watching the Book of Henry.
Well, for me, it was, when is this fucking ending?
I knew what the hell it was. I just couldn't believe they were doing it.
Oh, no. Let's be honest. There's no way you could tell what this was. Because this is a movie that, as I was watching it, I was running through every single bad idea that they could possibly execute. And for most of the duration, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I will give them credit, that the final bad idea was an innovatively and creatively terrible one.
Yes.
That was glorious. As it played out, I was like, this is so bad that it's actually, even for me, who have become bittered and jaundiced about much of mainstream cinema, I was sat there going, you know what? You're pushing boundaries in terrible. And I get points for that. If nothing else, that was the worst new bad ending I've seen this year.
I kept having to go while watching it. My God, I have to give this some points just for the sheer balls of even getting this to the point where it went from script to movie.
Yeah.
This is,
oh, wow. That's an accomplishment
in itself. To put this into context,
that's because Jurassic World made a shitload of money and they said, okay, Colin, what do you want to do next?
Oh, well, I have this.
Yeah, this is Colin Trevorrow, the guy who did Jurassic World. And before that, the movie that made me have hope for this one, Safety Not Guaranteed, which I personally really enjoyed the hell
out of. Well,
that's
because it's a good film.
It is a good film.
Which I liked. I didn't love it the way you guys did. But,
no,
you know,
it's good. It's not,
it's good, but yeah, I thought it also ended on a somewhat implausible note. That implausible though it may have been, that movie felt like it kind of earned it. This movie starts with an implausible premise, doubles down on that every fucking scene, and only you can't even suspend your disbelief. It has to be suspended and levitate it above the Earth's atmosphere for you to actually enjoy this movie.
Well, it's because for the first act of it, it's a cloying bad Spielberg imitation.
Sure.
Right?
No. And it's maybe a cloying Lifetime movie.
Yeah. Thank you. It's very Lifetime. Well, slash Hallmark now.
And, you know, if you were to just take the first, like, two acts of this, it would be just a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
That's all it would be. It'd be like, Jesus Christ, what was the point of that? The worst part about this is we're not even allowed to really give you what the major weird what the hell twist is that happens in the second act, because they have gone so far out of their way to avoid saying what it is. No, it's not.
It's not in the trailer.
It's not in the trailer. Well, yeah.
In hindsight, it's hidden in the trailer.
Yeah.
But only when you see it play out do you go, wow, this people say that It Comes at Night misrepresents what the film is. No. That goes, it's a horror film. It may give you some people may take from the trailer it's a different kind of horror film to what it is. This completely misleads you because you get about 100 minutes, you get about 90 minutes in and you're like, well, this seems to be playing out. What the hell?
Yeah, okay.
Why would you?
The story here, Naomi Watts plays Susan Carpenter, who lives with her two young sons. Henry, who's the much younger one, played by Jaden, oh boy.
No, he's the oldest.
Lieberher. No, Jacob Tremblay plays the older one.
No, he plays the younger one.
You said Henry was the younger one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
you're right.
Right. He's
no,
the older
you're right.
Boy, but he's 11 or 12.
You're right. He's 11 or 12. He's the title, The Book of Henry. He's Henry. And he is a
preternatural genius.
Yeah, to the point where it's like,
twat.
Okay, right off the beginning.
Yeah, he's a twat.
When he
it's
prefers
like
to be
please,
called
yeah.
precocious. It's like, okay, you are genuinely precocious.
So they wrote an adult and had a child play him. And there's movies where you're like, oh, I believe this kid is super smart. This is not one of them.
No. Yeah. Thing is, I didn't mind his performance. In fact, I thought the performances were what was working for me.
Yeah.
Up to a point, I said, okay, I will forgive the implausibilities of this. I can forgive some of the overly whimsical art direction. I don't believe that child actually built that little treehouse he has in the backyard. I don't think he has the physical strength to do it. But sure, he's a genius, so he can accomplish anything.
Okay, once more into the plot.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Okay.
We should talk about the plot.
So he runs the household. Naomi is Watts. His character is she's a waitress, but as is made clear early on, Henry's made so many smart investments with stock trading that they don't need to be. He keeps reminding her, "Mom, you don't even need to work." But she enjoys it. She's still kind of a child at heart. She's not.
She does it for the love.
She's not the greatest mom in terms of running day-to-day stuff, but luckily she has Henry to do that for her.
She's a 40-year-old manic pixie girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's
who
like,
plays video games.
Yeah. Plays Gears of War 3.
Is that what that was?
Yeah,
I was wondering what that was.
Is it Gears of War? Yeah, it's Gears of War.
I was like, man, the graphics are
like,
pretty good on
kids,
that.
Kids, she's more of a child than Henry is.
Right. And Henry, though, has something that's bothering him, is that he's starting to notice that his the girl he apparently has a crush on, Christina, the next-door neighbor played by Maddie Ziegler, has something that's been bothering her, and it seems to be connected to her stepfather, played by Dean Norris. What? Dean Norris playing a villain?
No.
The deuce, you say? And it in the first of
right
many
there.
Moments of this movie that make you go, are you sure you want to do this movie? She's being sexually abused by her stepfather. Seems very clear to Henry real quick, and he's tried many different things. Nobody seems to believe him, partially because Dean Norris's character is indeed the police commissioner, so he's already heavily connected, not the least of which to the guy that runs the local child abuse organization, who's like his brother or something.
Yeah, his brother.
All right. So all this going on, various different subplots running throughout this, lots of cloying cuteness, and then the big thing happens that I can't say what it is. We'll say after we give our reviews. And it ends up with basically the mom deciding that she has to do what Henry says nothing else is going to work, and the only way to deal with this situation is hands-on, with a super elaborate, like, Encyclopedia Brown plot.
Brown or Moriarty. This is the plot that you get.
Yeah, it's like, what's the name of the kid series where the kid wants to be a supervillain? You know what I'm talking about? Ian Colfer writes it. I'm blanking on the name of it right now. But it's like, as if Henry's going to grow up to be that kid.
Well, basically, she has to transform from, you know, and they try and pull this off amazingly unsuccessfully. That she has to transform in like 10 minutes from Summer from 500 Days of Summer into La Femme Nikita.
Yeah.
Which,
it becomes a thriller.
But the thing is, by that point, like, they can almost get away with it because plausibility has gone out the window at every stage.
They do it just by putting her in black leather. Done. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, they did just do that. They were like, let's put her in black leather. And I'm like, okay, while I don't want to complain about Naomi Watts in black leather, mind you, at the same time, you're like,
she's ready.
This is well past the point we've already gone, what the hell is going on, movie? And you're just kind of sitting there this point of the film.
Do what you want. I don't care anymore.
And it's got heart, damn it.
You're kind of in a state of shock at this point, just going, I have given up on this movie, but I'm still kind of like morbidly curious to see how this is
going
to play out.
Where the hell is this going now?
And I almost wish it had taken the darker, more unexpected route, because I kind of would have given it more points at that point for being so off the rails already at that point. Just fuck it. But no, because it wants to be still somewhat sweet and nice. Well, not
keep
being
the Hallmark
sweet,
trappings
nice
in the
at all
yeah,
either.
Yeah,
yeah.
Beyond being contrived, this is so emotionally manipulative.
Very.
So much so that it just halfway through, it squandered any goodwill I had.
Well, it's not helped by Michael Giacchino's kind of cloying soundtrack that is completely at odds with half of the film.
You know,
that's the problem. That really proves what the value of a good score, because if the score had any kind of ambiguity to it, it could have possibly kind of glued the disparate sections of this film together. But he's doing do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, nice little guitar section, and you're like, you're about to have a
child
molesting murder. I'm like, what the hell is going on? How do you not get that this doesn't work in this scene?
I wonder if a lot of this had to do with multiple different takes on the script as it went around, with originally maybe a Hitchcockian type idea, where let's skip all the cloying, treacly stuff, let's make this a lot darker, let's like go with this. You know what I mean?
Like a Hannah sort of thing?
I feel like there's something here that could have been made into a pretty interesting movie, but you can't have it both ways. You can't have this sweet movie that feels like it's a movie you take your kids to, and this other movie that is definitely not.
What was this movie going to be for? I want you the family to go see this.
Wait, because this was the best thing. The behind me, Frank. There was a small child who halfway, his parents had taken him, obviously expecting, I don't know, something a little bit more uplifting. And at the end of the second act, there was this small child just kept going, sad, sad, sad. That was the best moment of the entire audience movie.
We were with was I heard a few sniffles.
I heard them
gasps.
Yeah, but not like you
I
were
enjoying
laughs.
It. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, you're actually, but because this is a, like I said, it is so emotionally manipulative, and I will give Trevorrow that credit. He is good at manipulating you. The problem I have is like, oh man, I don't mind being manipulated. I just don't want you to know
you're
doing it.
Very pleasant in the right circumstance.
Yeah,
but like, I would disagree that he is good at it. I never felt affected by this in any way, shape, or form, and it didn't help. Like you mentioned, Giacchino, who is. Like, leading in way too early into every emotional moment with his incredibly overwrought, like, musical sequences, you know, telling you, okay, get ready, this is how you're going to feel now.
I put that in Trevorrow, too, because he's the guy who could have said, you know, Michael, maybe that's a little too much. But he did it. He said, no, give me more of that. He was totally okay with it.
Okay, I'm gonna insist that we play a quick round of say something nice. Because I have one nice thing I can say about this film.
Okay.
Not about the performances or the...
Most of those are garbage. there's one good thing. And literally one good thing where I was going like, yay, this is happening now. Ralph Wiggum kid.
Yes.
There is a character who turns up, who's clearly... He's designed to offset the fact that Henry is so smart that, you know, he is... He at one point thinks that he's going to be able to win an Olympic medal in dodgeball. And I swear to God, I just heard Commissioner Clancy Wiggum going, Ralphie, get off the stage, sweetheart. And he keeps cropping up and doing shit.
Yeah.
And he all bar turns up at one point and says, my sash says Ultraman. And he was glorious. Dog shit.
Okay.
Oh, Sarah Silverman turning up and going, my God.
She came in
looking like somebody who should have got an Oscar nomination for I Smile Back and was fucked over by that. And now she's going, yeah, screw it, I'll do this.
It kind of did feel like that. I will say for a movie that, like, at least partially is about sexual abuse of children, she sure gives Henry a boy, Woody, doesn't she?
Well, there is a wildly inappropriate moment there.
Yeah. Frank, what about you on the one nice thing
to say? Well, Richard took mine. I did like that kid.
That is literally the only good thing you could say about this
film. Broke up the tension, and, you know, I love when he dropped the mic at the talent show, and, you know, it was bad rap.
Just like, banana!
The movie should have been about that stupid kid.
Yeah, I'm just going to steal that one back. Yeah, I like that kid. That's it.
What about you, Marco? Anything else you can add to that?
I love the design of the treehouse, which was whimsical and well-constructed and really fun, and I don't believe for a fucking second it exists anywhere in the world, nor would it have been built by an 11-year-old.
No, he's just renting it from the Goonies.
Yeah, it's a movie treehouse. Yeah. Built like, oh, God, every part of that was just silly. There, like I said, early on I was like, okay, this isn't a really realistic movie. It's designed to be a little fantastical. I will allow these, you know, these little liberties and indulgences. But at some point, it just went too far. And I said, okay, you squandered my goodwill. Because I was willing to let some of that bullshit slide. But it quickly
reached a point.
Keep
going into your final thoughts, then.
I could not go any further on this. I will give this 2 tumors out of 10.
You went there.
Frank, what about your final thoughts?
You know, my mom's in town for a work conference, and so I said, you want to come to the movie with me? She was my plus one to this. And afterwards, she's like, why the hell do you want me to see that?
I didn't know what it was.
Driving her back, I was like, she was like, God, that was just depressing. And then she scolded me for not making a complete stop on the way back to the hotel. But she was right. It's depressing. It is disturbing. It features probably one of the worst, you know, examples of parenting on screen, I think.
And weirdly, not the abuser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It throws emotions at you like crazy. And, you know, it's I can't imagine who would like this movie. Who would think it's touching? Who would think it's heartfelt? Yeah, there's nothing I could say about this movie that's really any good. So I'll give it probably also 2 dessert lunches out of 10.
Very true.
Does anybody here remember A Deadly Adoption?
Oh,
which
no,
was
Will
when
Ferrell?
Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig went, let's do a Lifetime movie.
On Lifetime.
And let's do it completely straight. That's this, but it doesn't realize that's what it is. This is yes. The most spectacularly ill-considered movie of the past couple of years. This is, you know, this is Ishtar level of what were you thinking? Yeah. Everything about this is people wandering in from different films. Lee Pace turning up in the most... and I'm just going like, you were in Guardians of the Galaxy. You should have kept the face makeup on just for this so nobody recognized you. There is a pivotal point in this film where somebody realizes something is happening because of a ballet dance at a at a school talent
show. Wow, you
could
have done that months ago.
And I was like, this is just spectacular.
And they skipped the whole sparkle motion part of the talent show.
Oh, it was all in our heart somewhere. I'm keeping in the strain of precocious kids overly who designed to manipulate your emotions and terrible parenting. I will give this one flaming Blu-ray copy of The Nine Lives of Louis Drax out of 10.
I didn't say my one nice thing, which is that I see Bobby Moynihan is moving on from Saturday Night Live. I've always thought he's been their secret weapon for the past 9 years.
Yeah.
Really talented guy, and he's moving quickly in a lot of film and TV performances. This is the first thing I've seen him in so far. And I was like, oh, Bobby Moynihan, maybe he'll do something cool. Nope. But I'll say it was nice to see him.
He did look ashamed.
He did look ashamed to be there.
Literally, I've never seen anybody less capable of keeping their true emotions as an actor off screen at that moment.
I would be ashamed to be associated with this movie as well. This is a wild, explosive train wreck that is not fun to look at. There's nothing about this that... I mean, there's a moment... towards the let's execute the plan thing where it manages to elevate a bit of tension. But even so, you're just so out of it by that point because it's just so absurd that this movie would make the decisions that it's making that it's hard. You just can't be
those
you can't
would have been really
be
good
it.
Sequences in a different movie. That's what I meant when it was well-crafted. I'm like, that scene works except for all the parts that led up
to it and everything that
happens
it's
because
so schizophrenic
of it.
In terms
it's like
of its
watching
tone.
A car crash. And you think it's going to be pleasurable, because it always is when it happens to somebody else, and then you realize that they're in your car.
True. Naomi Watts is definitely giving it her all. She's just been, like everybody else, been written terrible dialogue here. And both the kids are really good in this. But, once again, they write the main kid as, like, you know, he'd be too smart for an adult. Much less a little kid.
It's kind of
like
that kid in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Yeah.
Oh my
god.
Even
more,
but even more,
a thousand times more so than that kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's just they didn't write a kid. They wrote an adult, and there's almost no concessions towards him still being a kid. So I'm going to, in the end, say that I think this is a movie that should be avoided by absolutely everyone. It's just nothing to it. It actually made me mad sitting there watching it. I had to go because it started late. I want to make sure we didn't miss the other people who were coming over here to record. So and I didn't mind. I was like, okay, Marco, I'm out. I'm going to tell me what happens.
I caught you up to speed in the last 2 minutes that were just... double down on the stupidity that had preceded it.
Yeah, I didn't. Nothing happened that I couldn't have told you exactly what was going to happen. I give this 1 out of 10 times. I was like, ooh, it's the pie maker. Maybe he's here to make this into a better film. But no. Anyway, so now spoilers.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the spoiler sequence of the transmission. The spoiler sequence.
The kid dies. Like... what,
and leaves a
40
plan
minutes
from beyond
the
grave.
Yeah, and has even to a point where like he's left a recording.
Perfectly
the
timed.
The mom to listen to.
He knows exactly what she's going to say.
Step by step. So literally he's like, anticipating every move she's going to make and everything she's going to say.
Her,
and you're just like, come on. Like, it was already unbelievable. And now it's just, ugh. I mean, even the whole unbearably long sequence of this kid in the hospital and dying, and then you're supposed to believe that he left the hospital and...
And nobody
noticed, and this is like last few days of life, and put together this enormous collection of shit.
Seizures.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody goes, "Hey, it's that kid with the brain tumor. Where's he going?"
Especially because they already pointed out that if he disconnects them, they already pointed out if he disconnects himself from the machine, the alarms go off. So it's like
he's connected to the machine that goes bing.
Yeah, and people are in his room the whole time, always. So you're like, how exactly did that happen? I don't think it did.
Well, the only way it works is my basic theory that he is indeed an evil genius on his way to becoming Lex Luthor, and the tumor saved us from global conquest.
That's right.
Because that's the problem. It tries to sell him as twee and adorable up to the point when he dies, and then you realize everything he set in motion is to convince his manipulate his easily manipulatable mother into killing their neighbor with a high powered rifle.
Right.
And you're like, and that's the thing, if you imagine him doing that on screen, he is a horrible character.
He's the bad seed.
The only way he gets... He's even worse. Because he's the bad seed. Just like, I'm going to manipulate a small child. I'm going to set my mom up for murder. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
But you know, I wanted it to build to the point where she goes, wait a minute, my son was a genius. And it almost toes this line of like, but he's still a child.
After,
and
like,
this
some
was like a child
kind of
misunderstanding what was going on. Because we never really... Thank God, we never really see any abuse. What do we know about the abused child next door? We know that she's upstairs, her dad's downstairs. Lights come on and off, she seems sad.
Well, we see a reaction
shot.
They
talk about bruises, but we never see them.
We see a reaction shot that seems to make it very clear that she saw what was actually happening. Well,
yeah, here's a question for you. If Henry is seeing this go on regularly through his window, why didn't he just buy a camera with night vision?
Yeah.
And get it on video and then send it.
And then blackmail him like an evil genius.
Wouldn't that be the easy solution?
He could have committed crimes in that city for years with all the evidence.
Yeah, he's just a child.
They keep saying he would have thought of everything. It's like, and clearly not. And let's not forget, they were near millionaires for all the money invested. So it's not like he couldn't have afforded a super high quality night vision camera to take pictures of
us. Well, I mean, they are millionaires. At one point, it said that she's got $680,000 in a checking account.
And then tons of stock and things like
which
that.
Which raises the real potential that she is actually mentally impaired.
Yeah. I think so too. Yeah,
yeah, like that. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, that's the problem with writing this the way that it's written. That having her as basically, you know, like I said, a 40-year-old manic pixie girl,
borderline alcoholic too.
Yeah,
she?
and high functioning alcoholic, which is like, is there something wrong with her?
Nobody checks up on her. No one questions.
Yeah, nobody questions any of this nonsense. Just who wrote this? Well,
There was a really good idea.
This is why.
Some guy named Gary.
Greg Hurwitz.
Here's the frightening thing. Greg Hurwitz is, you know, he's been writing, you know, novels and comics for years. He's not bad on comics. What the hell he thought he was doing here? I mean, this guy's been churning this shit out for years. He should know better.
And who knows how much of this was changed after the fact or how much of his writing remains in this thing. Maybe it was a good idea. I think there was a good idea here where you have a really smart kid who's smarter than everybody but is still a child and can't process everything maturely yet.
Does anybody there like the smart been. Kids, though?
Nobody ever likes a smart kid. No one.
So you're always like, don't have a smart mouth.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's
like, that. You know, that could have been interesting.
That was the thing that really made this implausible, was that he was the most popular kid in his class.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're like, wait, what?
Goldberg's sociopath. He's got all the friends. You're right.
And the bullies are scared of him for some reason. There's like one bully kid, and he's like, okay.
Who's mad?
Honestly, at the end when the kid does the magic trick, and I'm going to bring my brother back, I thought, you know what?
just bring it back.
At this point, I can believe these screenwriters.
They set it up
an ending where he's like, "I fooled you into thinking I was dead."
They set it up for a franchise. He's like the world's smartest kid, and he's like, "I had to teach my mom how to be an adult."
And I'm sorry, all of that stuff coming out of that trunk. I don't know how that represented his brother returning.
Me neither.
It represented his brother returning. If you happen to have been in the room
when he saw what he did,
for this one thing that he'd done for his brother, which literally no one was there for.
So everyone was like, "Oh, pretty
the two sons." Wow. So it's like everybody there was like applauding and something. The visual metaphor only worked literally
because they only exist in a movie, and it's this movie, so of course they all know about it.
Okay, well, let's just all say basically, don't go see this movie. It's not worth your time.
It's stupid.
It's a bummer.
Burn it. Burn it with fire.
Yes.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.